Well, here we are. I guess this is the big 5-0, if I have that correctly, as far as number 50 podcast.
Oh.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
So here, this has been a big election week out there. No doubt social media has had a big part of this. You actually you're following up on the whole thing going up in Chicago. What was up with that?
The Chicago mayoral election, yeah, with Foursquare. And they have nominated their candidate, which is Matt Jakubowski, mm-hmm. with 780 check-ins. He got the nomination. And the election is in 109 days.
Okay, so this guy did what?
He checked in to the mayoral headquarters, which was a building in downtown Chicago. Uh-huh. And he checked in 780 times, and now a marketing firm in Chicago is sponsoring him and giving him a marketing package in order to run for mayor of Chicago. So, yeah. And he only has 56 friends on Foursquare.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Which is just a small number.
You're kind of watching that?
Yeah.
Because this is definitely a interest to you on the...
Yeah. I mean, he was just nominated 2 days ago, so I'll be following him. I'm now following him on Twitter. His career, he's actually a computer hacker of sorts. He works for a security company, and that's his job. So he probably hacked this, too. You never know.
Oh, okay. So computer hacker turned mayoral candidate.
Yes.
All right.
Everyone's dream.
Now you have, 780 times-ish. So how many times can you check into one place during the course of a day on Foursquare?
To check into a place multiple times a day, you have to be there and leave and come back. You have to have a check-in between check-ins.
Okay, so you've got to go check in somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like yesterday, I went to Taco Bell for lunch. So if I checked in at Taco Bell, I could come back to Luna Web and then check in again.
Exactly.
Speaking of which, hey, I'm Dave Barger.
And I'm Rachel Smith. BTW.
Okay. Well, you know, on that note, Facebook had some really big announcements this week.
They did.
And we got to tune in to watch most of that live over there at, I guess, the Facebook headquarters in California. Happened to coincide, I guess this is the third month in a row where Facebook has big announcements on the same day as the Social Expedition breakfast.
Yeah.
Earlier this week being no exception with there were principally three things about it. All of it having to do with mobile. Mm-hmm. When I use the application, when I get on my phone and go to Facebook, I've been using touch.facebook.com.
Okay.
Have you been using the app?
I still use the app, yeah.
Okay, because you're using the iPhone.
Yes.
And I've been using, I use Android.
Correct.
Droid. And Facebook, one of the things they talked about this week was they're starting to pay more attention to Android. And so sure enough, they released a new Android app.
Did you check it out?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I did. And it seems to be very equitable with touch.facebook.com.
Okay.
Whereas before, they'd kind of like, you know, they'd pay attention to it and update it every now and then. But it didn't have things like places on it, and it was a little antiquated. So that's why I've been using touch.facebook.com.
Okay.
And but on the Droid, now their app, it seems to be up to date so far, but it doesn't have all the new features that they talked about yesterday.
Mine actually did, but it took until, I don't know if you checked it last night, because I checked it at about 7 o'clock and I had an update waiting on me. So... now, I know they announced their Facebook deals in correlation with Facebook places, and as of yet, there are no deals, but that's just because, quite literally, there are no deals yet. Those are rolling out. I know Gap was one of the sponsors they mentioned yesterday. The first 10,000 check-ins on Facebook places gets a new pair of jeans for mm-hmm. free, and that promotion actually starts tomorrow. So they actually may be the front runner in that. I think deals actually won't start until tomorrow. So I was looking for that. So I'm expecting tomorrow.
Okay, so on the iPhone now, you can see deals. There's just none there.
Now, it's not a separate like little token like Places is. You mm-hmm. know, you see your home screen on your app where it's got profile, newsfeed, Places. Mm-hmm. The deals will be built into your Places, just like Foursquare. And so you'll see probably a little button there that says deal or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I'll look for that tomorrow because I know Gap is rolling that out tomorrow.
Gotcha. Well, those rascals. In the brand new Android app, which was released yesterday, I dug all around through the Places section looking for a deals button or something or a link.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think the deals are just not quite there yet.
I need to look again to see if there's a new update.
Look tomorrow. Get a new pair of jeans.
You know, yeah. That could be interesting.
Yeah.
So what that's about is if you have this app on your smartphone and you go to a Gap and you check in. We're not talking Foursquare now. We're talking Facebook.
Yes, Facebook.
Okay.
And actually, Foursquare ran a promotion with Gap a while back. I took advantage of it. It was like 30% off for a check-in. Mm-hmm. However, tomorrow's special that is working with Facebook on this is that the first 10,000 check-ins with Gap nationwide, not just at your local store, but first 10,000 check-ins nationwide gets a free pair of jeans. If you are number 10,001, however, you get 40% off your purchase.
Hmm.
So it's a win-win.
Yeah, this is interesting. I kind of wonder how this will pan out with the whole time zone difference.
True.
And the only reason that's on my mind is because Facebook is over there in Pacific time.
Yeah.
They have their press conferences at 10:30 in the morning, which puts it right smack dab at noon 30 here in Central Time.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if by the time the Gap stores open up over on the West Coast, will Eastern, Central, and Mountain Time have soaked up all those 10,000 free pairs of jeans, and will there be any leftovers for the Pacific?
It'll be interesting to see because, you know, I'm assuming it's going to be treated much like Foursquare where you have to unlock the special. So I'm assuming that, you know, I'm going to try to go tomorrow on my lunch break just to see what happens. And so check in, and I'm assuming that I'll either get a screen that says you unlocked a free pair of jeans or you unlocked a 40% discount. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But that should be interesting.
Hmm. Okay.
I would venture to say that I may be the, you know, one of five people in Memphis who does this or who's aware of what's going on in order to do it.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Yeah, see, that would be great to know as well.
Yeah.
There's an article that had just come out here recently about how the adoption of location-based services is, although it's taken off, it's still really, really small.
Yeah.
And so when I read that, another thing that went through my mind at the same time is one of the advantages that early adopters have on a lot of these new things that are out there is they can take advantage of a lot of this new stuff while it's still free.
Yeah.
And these companies that have come out with these new things, they make a lot of this stuff free initially to get adoption and get bugs worked out, you know.
Right.
But then once they figure out, hey, this is really an awesome product and we can actually charge money for it.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, your gym is one of 24 Hour Fitness is one of the ones who's offering a special too. I don't know what it is just yet, so you need to look into that.
Yeah.
I'll do Gap research, you do 24 Hour Fitness.
You know what gets me about some of these kinds of things? It's like, so let's say a gym. It's like, hey, you're gonna, and let's just say they've got this special for new members.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, what are you gonna do for us that have been with you for a while? Come on now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, but anyway, it's always interesting. You know, speaking of time zones and that kind of thing, this weekend is we get to do the fall back.
I've been wondering when that was. I've actually been panicking every morning, afraid that I missed it. So good to know.
So this is where we get the extra hour.
Yes, this is the best one.
And now is the iPhone supposed to blow up? Was there something?
It's not 2012.
I
think it'll be fine.
Is that daylight savings time switch at 2012?
Who knows?
Okay.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Exactly. So far, my iPhone's cooperated every year with the time change. It just does it on its own.
Okay. I thought I blasted by a headline that said something about the iOS having issues with the time change. Oh, maybe that was for the Europeans because they don't do it or something.
Yeah.
I didn't read the whole article. It was another headline skimming moment.
Interesting.
You know, a tweet size type of a thing. Well, I guess we'll see what happens on that on Monday. Yeah, as far as any...
If I don't come in to work on Monday, my iPhone blew up. That's what happened.
Is that your alarm clock? My Droid's my alarm clock.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah. I set two alarms just in case, but it's definitely... Like two alarms on my iPhone. Mm-hmm. So if it fails, it fails.
Great. I've got three that I use. And the other day, I messed up and did the PM, AM thing.
It happened.
Because I'd set it for a nap. Anyhow, so hey, we got Bar Camp coming up.
We do.
Check out Bar Camp Memphis. And you just got some good news from Foursquare.
From Foursquare, yeah. I actually tweeted them yesterday. I tweeted at Dens, who is Dennis Crowley of Foursquare, and said, hey, we're having Bar Camp Memphis. You want to send us some swag? And lo and behold, they are. So huge thanks to them, not only for sending it, but for being the kind of people who, you know, follow up on Twitter. That's what it's for, people. So It was a big day. I was very appreciative. So we're getting pins and stickers and pins, like literally pins, P-I-N-S.
Oh, okay.
That look like the Foursquare badges.
Oh, yeah. Oh, like the Foursquare badges. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so I'm excited.
Look forward to seeing that.
Yeah, thanks, Dens and Foursquare. Yeah.
Well, speaking of pins and Foursquares, now would be a good time to go ahead and break over to the interview with Mark Dinstel.
It is a great pleasure today to welcome Mark Dinstel, who has many, many titles, and maybe a few of those we'll touch on today. So, hey, welcome to the Social Expedition.
Hey, thank you so much, Dave. I appreciate you inviting me.
I think I saw you last over at the Ignite Memphis.
Yeah, man. Wow, what a great event. That was so much fun.
You know, the second one is already, it's not on the calendar exactly yet, but I think it's pretty close. We're looking at February. The advance tickets are already on sale.
That's great. You know, there was one that I wanted to do, and I tried to plan it out, but I wasn't able to get it done, so I'm definitely going to participate in the next one. It's going to be fun. I really liked that. I think they had a perfect blend of people that had a serious message that they wanted to convey versus people that wanted to talk about internet space Jesus. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. But, you know, the cool thing about it was it didn't matter really what the subject matter was. It's the fact that that format is so powerful, and I think it's kind of like Toastmasters 2.0.
Okay.
That's what I think.
Now, have you been around Toastmasters?
You know, I never really have, but I'm familiar with the concept where mm-hmm. it's basically to hone your public speaking skills. You get up and you give a speech, and it doesn't matter. The subject matter doesn't really matter. It's, you know, you could get up and you could talk about your comic book collection. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to be able to get up and give some big inspirational speech about why you should give to charity. You could get up and talk about why I love my cat.
Yeah.
But it's all about the format of, these are the points that I'm going to make, that I make them effectively. How did that work? And I think that Ignite is kind of like the next version of that.
Excellent. In case you had run down the hall or anything like that during the show, all the videos are now up on the site. So if you go back to ignitememphis.com.
Yes.
And you can see.
I was actually sending links from that site the other day to people that weren't able to make it.
Okay, great. Well, that's awesome. Yeah. That is great. So, you know, we've been hearing a lot about Mark's menus lately. And this being the Social Expedition, you know, we try and, you know, highlight some of those social type things that tie into stuff that we're talking about. So tell us a little bit about Mark's menus and some of what makes it unique, I think.
Well, one of the things that makes it unique is that it kind of goes, you know, they say most sites go to 10. This one kind of goes to 11. And it goes to 11 in usefulness. One of the differences between Mark's menus and, say, some of the other sites that people have compared us to is, one, not only do we have the restaurant information and comments from mm-hmm. users, we also have each individual menu item on every menu that restaurant has for over 200 restaurants in the Memphis area. And I think, I haven't checked the database this morning, but we've got thousands of restaurants and millions of menu items.
Wow.
So the power of that is you can say, I am in downtown Memphis and I want country fried steak. And it will show you all the restaurants that have country fried steak on the menu. And then you can actually look at each individual menu item that is country fried steak. And you can look at all the comments, all the ratings, all the everything about it. You can compare the prices on each one. And that way you can make an informed decision if you're like, you know, this is where I am and this is where I want to go. Mm-hmm. And we've recently rolled out a new feature. I'm a guy, so constantly, you know, trying to make dinner plans sometimes, it's kind of like, you know, hey, I'm hungry. Where do you want to go eat? And it's like, oh, I don't care. Where do you want to go? Well, what are you hungry for? I don't care. I'm a guy. I mean, come on. Guys, when it comes to food, guys are like Labrador Retrievers. You could take the remote control for the TV and you could like deep fry it and put it on a plate in front of me. I'd probably eat it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, and we have the same understanding of like nutrition usually. So, so you know, it's kind of like, okay, where do I want to go? Well, we just added this new feature called recommendations where you can say, okay, I'm in this part of town and I don't know what I want to eat. What is good? And it will show you the recommendations for that area on Mark's menus. So it's a little bit smarter than just, you know, randomizing what am I going to order.
So back up a little bit here.
Okay.
You know, so this site helps you find specific dishes not like a genre of a restaurant, but actual dishes. So I want lasagna.
Exactly.
Instead of searching for Italian, I'm searching for lasagna.
Right. Now, here's the thing about that. When you categorize things by a genre, and that's a perfect example. I'm gonna do something here. I'm gonna say the word Italian food. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, everyone that just heard me say Italian food is thinking of, they're not thinking of Italian food. They're thinking of one specific dish. Yeah. Whenever I say Italian food. Now, that dish could be that really amazing fettuccine Alfredo that you had that one night at that restaurant with the nice cloth, tablecloths and everything. Or it could be that really amazing, like, coma-inducing meatball sub with the melted cheese that you had at that one bar that does good Italian food. Mm-hmm. So saying Italian food, it kind of spans, I mean, that's a pretty big net that you're casting.
Yeah.
And Italian food means something different to everyone. So we wanted for you to be able to say fettuccine Alfredo and not just Italian food.
Yeah.
Now, you can type in Italian food and it will return everything that's Italian, from everything from the nice, like, date-worthy restaurants to the, oh my God, I'm starving, just put food in front of me, yeah. You know, kind of like with the checkered tablecloth. So yeah, it's really cool. And we kind of harness that power of, I guess, human psychology in order to provide something that we think is a very good and viable service to our users.
And so what I'm looking at there is other users' comments, mm-hmm. And not the restaurant saying that it's, hey, this is the most fantastic fettuccine Alfredo you've ever put in your mouth, kind of thing.
Right. Okay. Right. And it's interesting you say that. One of the issues that we kind of looked into was the possibility of astroturfing. I think that was a big problem when I think it was Amazon.com.
So explain to people what the astroturfing is.
Okay, astroturf is fake grass. Mm-hmm. And astroturfing is, let's say that Dave writes a book. You know, I Did It My Way by Dave Barger. Mm-hmm. And then Dave sells that on Amazon. And I'm someone that's looking for autobiographies. So I see, oh, hey, look, this Dave Barger guy wrote this book. And look, there's like 20 users that are giving it 5 stars and saying, you know, this book changed my life. Dave Barger is amazing. And not saying that you're not amazing, but and then you look at it and you realize all the users are like DBarger01, DBarger02, DBarger03, oh, or yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, but let's say that I write an autobiography and, you know, it's, I don't know, I call it, no, I did it my way. And then suddenly I get all these negative comments from DBarger01 through 25. And mm-hmm. they say, you know, Mark Dinstall is a hack and he stole this and everything about him sucks. Well, one of the things that's really interesting, first of all, we realized that people are becoming a lot more savvy and people are able to look at a review of something and they're really, really good at filtering. The same way that we as a species have figured out how to filter out car commercials on the radio. You don't hear them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's one of the things that we've done is we've kind of let people, we'll give them as much rope as they want because it only ends up coming back and hitting them.
Yeah.
But one of the cool things that we do is for the premium restaurants, they get a verified premium account so that if you know, you've got Bob's Hamburgers and Joe's Hamburgers, well, if the hamburger on Joe's Hamburger suddenly gets all these horrible ratings from some user named Bob, then you're going to be like, oh, that's just Bob across the street, and he's yeah. trying to hammer Joe. Well, with the verified user, you can have that username come in, and it's like authenticated, kind of like the authenticated Twitter feeds and things like that. So there are some controls in place to keep me from creating an account of a restaurateur and going in and being a jerk
yeah.
online.
So is there a way to report astroturfing or anything like that?
Oh, really?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and, you know, it's actually kind of cool because we've noticed our user base tends to be pretty savvy. I've never seen anyone post a comment. You know, the site's been up for a little over a year now, and we've had tons of users, tons of comments. And I've never seen anyone post a comment that says, like, this dish sucks.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually, I really didn't like this dish because I think that they had too much oregano, and I'm not a big fan of oregano. But if you like oregano, then this is the dish for you. I mean, they always add constructive criticism or explain why. And I think a lot of that also has to do with the fact that, I mean, if you just go on and start slamming things, then your own reputation is just going to go down, and pretty soon no one's going to listen to anything you say.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have one dish that has five users commenting on it, and four of them have given the dish between 4 and 5 stars, and one of them's given it 1 star, and they just say, this dish sucks, you know, it's easy to say, okay.
So now, where can I get this? You know, just marksmenus.com, the website, or?
Well, you can go to the website, marksmenus.com.
Mm-hmm.
We have mobile apps on 2 platforms. I guess you say 2.5, because the iPhone and the iPad are kind of like, you know, mm-hmm. 1.5. But we also have an Android version.
Great.
And the cool thing about the mobile apps, what that allows us to do, that allows us to do something that that the website does not. And what that does is that allows you to pull out your app, open it up, hit a button, and then type in, okay, use my location, and I want a smoothie. And it'll show you all the places in like a 1 mile radius that have smoothies. And then you can zoom it in, you can scroll it out. I mean, you know, simple. And then you can look and you can see the ratings on each smoothie.
Now, am I then able to something and give me directions to the smoothie?
Well, we haven't actually worked out turn-by-turn directions yet.
Okay.
But because the scale is so small,
yeah,
it's usually people haven't really asked for that yet.
Okay.
But, you know, because like I said, the scale is like 1 mile, so you just kind of look at it and you say, this is where I am. This is the direction that I'm going in, mm-hmm. and I see, you know, just right up the street. So it's... you know, it's not like getting directions to someplace out of town.
So Mark's Menu, the site itself is a little over a year old.
Right.
What about the business, and how did it come to, you know, really get on the map, so to speak?
Well, actually, it's kind of interesting. This is one of the things that I always, anytime anyone ever asks me about this, I want to be very, very clear. This was not my idea.
Mm-hmm.
This was the brainchild of Scott Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Scott kind of brought me into it.
Okay.
He sat down and he said, I've got this idea for something. I think it might be cool. We might be able to turn it into a business. But, you know, regardless, I want to create something that I would use. I want to do something that I want to create a tool that I would use. I know a couple of other people that would use it, and let's do it. And then he told me the idea. He told me how he wanted to do it. And I said, this sounds pretty cool. I've never done anything like this before, and the challenge was pretty big. I mean, and I said, you know, hey, let's at least do this. Because my attitude from it was, if we don't end up creating exactly what we want, or we end up running into problems, at least we could say we did it. At least we could say we tried. So, you know, for me, it was an interesting challenge, and I wanted to do it. So we started working on it, and we started working on it. It was a couple of weeks before the first 48-hour launch,
mm-hmm.
or I think technically it was the second 48-hour launch in Memphis,
okay.
And it was downtown at Emerge Memphis,
mm-hmm.
sponsored by Launch Memphis, and it was like a few days before, and Scott said, you know, I think that we ought to pitch Mark's Menus during this thing, and I said, I think that's a great idea. You know, that way we can get other people to test it for us, and other people might be able to use it. And at this time it was still, you know, an idea. Anyway, after that first weekend, we got enough social validation that we decided let's figure out a way to turn this into a business and go forward. And it was off to the races from there.
Outstanding. So another Launch Memphis event that I imagine was very pivotal for you guys,
mm-hmm.
was the escalator pitch competition, because didn't you guys win that thing?
We did.
Yeah.
We did. And man, we had, I mean, some of the people that were competing in that,
uh-huh.
it was intimidating. Not only that, but the judges were, I mean, you sit there and it's like, you know, you've got to ride on an elevator with Jim Phillips and
yeah.
pitch your idea to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just kind of like, okay, so... So, yeah, that was, I mean, we were thrilled to actually be selected as a finalist.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got selected as a finalist, I was like, okay, I'm excited about that. Let's get to the next level. If anything happens, we were selected as a finalist. We can say that and we can brag about that. Then we actually did the competition. Then we were like in the final round. And it's
yeah.
like, okay, you know what? No matter what happens, we're in the final round. we can say that we were in the final round. And then when they announced the winner, I was just kind of like, you got to be kidding me. This is amazing. So yeah, it was really exciting. And it really kind of helped us hone in on exactly what it was that we were doing. And because you've got 30 seconds to explain everything that you're about and get that message across very concisely.
Evidently, you did a good job at it.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So, you know, we just shared that whole thing with the business boot camp and the escalator pitch competition with some folks up in Chicago
who were
putting together kind of a pitch camp kind of a thing to ignite some stuff going on up there as well. So we sent them that video. So no doubt they've got your face on their radar.
No way.
You know what? Actually, the person was Melissa Pierce. Who is the producer of that movie, Life in Perpetual Beta.
We've
got a copy of it. You'd love to see it sometime.
I need to see where I can actually order a DVD because I missed the screening because I was working or in class or working on something else.
You're always up to something. Do you sleep?
Rarely.
That's awesome.
I'm taking my cues from Eric Matthews. I have no idea how that guy keeps going. He's an inspiration to everyone.
Sure enough. Well, hey, so if anybody wanted to connect with you out there in the great big dub, where would they find you online?
Well, you could follow me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is MDINSTUHL. That's M Dinstuhl. Or you can follow me at follow Mark's Menus on Twitter. Or just go to marksmenus.com and shoot me an email at mark@marksmenus.com.
Excellent.
And, yeah, I'd love to hear from you guys.
Yeah. Well, Mark, hey, thanks so much, man. Really appreciate you being here.
Groovy.
So I don't know if you got a chance to hang out with Mark Dinstuhl or not, but he's an all-around great guy. I've known him for about a decade. And he's out and about. So check him out also on Twitter there. Hopefully, I think we've got his Twitter handle on.
I think it's at M Dinstuhl.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And the tricky part is the Dinstuhl and getting the H in the right spot.
I think it's pretty easy. Good deal.
Okay. Well, hey, we hope to see you out at BarCamp. Check out barcampmemphis.com. And you can, or if you go to .org, that'll work as well. There are, if you can't be out there for the whole day, there are plenty of people who go out there for they're either there in the morning or they'll come out midday or just part of the day. We'll figure that out, that day of. So that is November 13th. Hope to see you then, and thanks for listening.
Thanks.
The Social Expedition Podcast is produced at the offices of LunaWeb, a Memphis leader in web development and social media, online at lunaweb.com. LunaWeb is a full-service web agency meeting Memphis's online needs since 1995. Our theme music is The Year Before the War by Eric Maskell, available online at ericmaskell.com. For more information about the Social Expedition, including links mentioned during the podcast, visit socialexpedition.com. Thanks for listening.